Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I am very excited for this week. This Thanksgiving is like my holiday. I've got, I think the head count's up to 30 people that are going to have turkey and ham at my house because I'm a ham girl. I mean, turkey's okay, but whatever. So if I have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name's Terry Chandro, and I'm married to Chris, and we're the pastors here at Compass. It's just the delight of our life to pastor at our favorite church in town, which we're very biased, we know. So, but we should like the church that we pastor, so I don't really apologize for that. Now, if you saw Chris this morning, that means you were here early before he, like, vomited. And now he's home. Sorry, don't put that on the podcast, whoever's editing that. So my dear husband is at home keeping his cooties and germs there away from all of us. But I got the message. So I got this. We got people who can dunk people. The baptism's still going to happen. It's all going to be great. So anyway. Okay, well, I want to talk to you today about embracing change. Anybody here like change? You're like, yes, woohoo! No. Oh, guys, I got to tell you, I do the books at our house, and we got Quicken. And I got Quicken, and my version that I have is 2015. And there was a mandatory upgrade thing I had that they did this week. I didn't even control it. It just was different when I opened it. And the reconcile part was different, and I about pulled my hair out, about had a heart attack, about lost my salvation. Chris had to help me, and I had to ask him for help and receive it. So that's exciting. So that happened. So I want to talk to you about embracing change and things that change. And if you know us, you know that we have three kids, and they're all very close in age. As a matter of fact, when I brought home Calvin, he's our youngest, when I brought him home from the hospital, all three were in diapers. All three of them. Yes. Do you have a picture of... Look at him. His face is a little squished, but Trinity kept running away. And so we had to, like, grab her. There's the photo. Aren't they cute? Well, anyway, I was very busy, and I cleaned up a lot of diapers, and that was not my favorite part of being a mom, but it was great. But I'll tell you what, the day that the change came, where finally Cameron and Trinity and Calvin were all toilet trained, I was doing the happy dance. That was a change of season that I embraced wholeheartedly. Okay, and another change that was very exciting was when they all could finally... Has anybody ever buckled up multiple toddlers in car seats? Those seat belts and fighting them, oh, like it's over, it's done, it's passed, I can move on. But the day where they all buckled their own seatbelt was another happy dance moment. And for if you know Chris, his, like, really exciting change of the kids getting older was when, because, okay, we love to go out for breakfast, and Cracker Barrel's kind of our favorite place to go for breakfast. I know we sound like old grandparents, we're not, but really like Cracker Barrel. And when we go there and we all order pancakes and they put the pancakes down in front of each of us, the day that Chris didn't have to cut anybody's pancakes but his own was a glorious, like, angelic day, a change that we embraced. Now, there's other changes in life that, you know, we're coming into that I'm not as excited about, I'm a little apprehensive about. This year, Halloween, this was the first Halloween that we didn't all go trick-or-treating as a family. I know, we always did, but all three of my kids had other friends to go do stuff with, and so we got them dressed and took them to their places, and then we went out for dinner. It was awesome. It was great, but there was a little part of my heart that was like, I don't think I like this. Yeah, and then this week actually is a historic week in the Chandro house, because Cameron Chandro, our oldest, lovely daughter, she's 15, and she's got her permit. And this was the week that Chris took her out to drive for the very first time. Oh, I don't want to speak of it. but it happened. And this is going to happen some more. And I'm going to have to get over being, you know, oh, worrying about her and worrying about other stupid drivers. And then worrying like, baby, seriously, don't text ever, 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 right? All those things that you say to young new drivers. That's a season that we're entering. Now, there have been seasons in our life that we've had where things have been unexpected. You know, there was a time when we had unexpected employment changes, and those were not exciting, and those were a little fearful, and you walk through that stuff. And, you know, there's other changes where maybe changes happen where there's a loss in the family or a change in a relationship or a divorce in the family, and you walk through those changes, and you have to figure out how to navigate that. But there's another kind of change that I want to talk to you specifically about today. And that's when God brings a change to your life that's from him for you. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus and you don't give what the Bible says any weight and you don't believe this church stuff, God stuff, just sit back and relax. I believe that the principles we're going to pull out of the Bible today when we talk about embracing changes that God has for us, I think that you'll find some principles that you can apply to your life that are just good principles. Or you can just sit back, and if you've got Christian friends and you see them freaking out and not handling change well, you can be like, you're doing it wrong because I was at your church and I heard what you're supposed to do. So either way. You know, sometimes, you know, God has a change that he wants to bring. He may want you to, you know, come to a place where you've been holding a grudge. You've been holding unforgiveness, maybe justified, but you've been hanging on to that unforgiveness, and maybe God is calling you to a day where he says, you know what, today is the day I want you to put that down and move on. Or maybe, you know, there's a relationship that you've had for, you know, a long time, and you've seen some red flags, and you know, and you feel God leading you and saying, this isn't wise for you. I have something different for you. I'm going to ask you to put that down today and follow me out. I don't know. And I'm just excited. God has been moving, and he's been challenging me, and we are in a big season of change around here. And I'm excited actually to share, there's a couple passages that I want to share with you. And really, I have read the Christmas story, like, and we're going to look at a couple things leading right up to the birth of Christ. So it's kind of a fitting day that it fell that Chris asked me to speak today, right before Thanksgiving, right before we blast off into the Christmas season. About a year ago, I read these two accounts of the angel Gabriel. He comes and he visits the parents, the father of John the Baptist, and the same angel then visits Mary and to tell about the babies that are going to be born. And just comparing and contrasting how both of those accounts went, God, like, it's been long enough where, have you ever, like, done something and you got in trouble and you really didn't want to talk about it till, like, years later because you were just too embarrassed? You're like, I got grounded pretty good. And here's why. You can tell that story, like, you know, a few years later, but, like, not right then. So I feel like God kind of took me out and said, hey, you got to do better. And so I'm ready now to tell you what happened. So the passage we're going to look at, we're going to start off, and I have to tell you, just to start here, what's kind of cool about your Bible is it's divided into two halves. There's the Old Testament, and then there's the New Testament. And the Old Testament is, it's got the history of Israel. It's basically about God's relationship with the nation of Israel, with his people, okay? And basically, Jesus referred to it as the law and the prophets. And so there was all the things that you had to do to be a good Jewish person. And then there was, like, prophecies written about, because there's this coming Savior. God was going to send this Messiah, this Savior who was going to make everything right and restore Israel to their right place, okay? And so that's everything that's happening in the prophets, and it's giving all the ways you're going to know that this is God's guide, this is his plan. And, like, one of the last three prophets was Malachi. Okay, he was one of the last three, and his book is the last one that we have in our Bible. And the very stinking last thing that he says, okay, is It's in Malachi 4. And the last thing he says in Malachi 4, verse 5, he says, "Look, I'm sending you a prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Okay, so basically, that was like the last thing. And then there was 400 years of silence. Say 400 years. That's a long time. So all the priests, all the Jewish people, they're just going about life for 400 years waiting for this Savior and then waiting for this person who's going to come before the Savior like Elijah. So that's basically then where we find Zechariah, okay? And so I want to talk to you about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah, he was a priest. And you were like born into that. So he was the priest. He was about God's kingdom, about the things of the temple, all of his life. Okay, and he and Elizabeth were older, and he was just doing his thing. And this is where we're going to pick up our story. Okay, we're in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. They were careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Okay, they've been doing the priestly thing. They've really wished they could have a baby. It's been years of barrenness. That's been kind of a thing that they've had to carry. And they've just been, he's been serving as a priest, waiting for this, Messiah that's going to come, and he's just been doing his job. Well, one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week, as was the custom for the priest. And he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And while the incense were being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Okay, one thing that's kind of cool, I researched this this week, and historians say that at that time in history, there would have been like 22,000 priests. Okay, so the idea that you get to be the one that goes in and burns the incense, it has to be your week to be on duty, and then your number has to be pulled out of the hat, or I don't know how they did it. But this is like a 1 in 22,000 people opportunity. This is his day that he gets called in to get to go and burn the incense. And so he goes in to burn the incense, and there's a crowd outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." Okay, I'm not kidding. Like, if I showed up, like, I'm here at Compass, and I know that God's presence fills this place every time we come together. But if an angel, like, appeared to me, would y'all be freaking out a little bit? A little bit. And I love that what the angel, Gabriel, says to him is, "Do not be afraid. All right. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord, their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah." Okay, look, listen, remember we just talked about the last thing that we heard from the prophet, what we're supposed to be looking for. Okay, and he's telling him he'll be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Okay, so this is amazing news. The angel shows up and's like, "Hey, I know your name, and I know your wife's name, and I know that you've wanted a baby, and guess what? You're going to have a baby, but not just any baby. You're going to have the baby that's going to, turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord." So there is not one shred of bad news in what the angel's saying to Zechariah. Not a shred of it. And let's see how Zechariah responds. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Okay. I think Zechariah, without meaning to, turned into a crusty old church person. Okay? Because his whole job, his whole existence is to be a priest and to watch and to wait for the Savior to come. This is what they've been waiting for. This is what they've been praying for. They believe that God is a faithful God and someday he's going to send us a Savior. They've been preaching that at church. And here he is. The angel shows up and tells him all this. And he's like, really? How can I be sure? Are you kidding me? Okay. So listen to this. Okay, and Gabriel didn't play. Listen to what... Okay, hang on, it's kind of harsh. All right, the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and it was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. That stinks, man. And then he came out, and everybody could tell that he'd had a vision, and they're like, what's going on, you know, and he couldn't speak. And then, you know, here Elizabeth ends up pregnant. She's so excited. She's like, the Lord has removed my shame. And, you know, the baby finally was born, and then, you know, they were like, we're going to name him Zechariah. And then Zechariah wrote, his name is John. And then God opened his mouth, and he was able to speak, and it was a beautiful thing. Because God, what God said was going to come to be. But I just wonder, if it had to have gone down that way. Take a look and let's see how things go when Gabriel, the same angel, comes and has a little conversation with Mary. Okay, let's look at verse 26, still in Luke 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to the man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Okay, girls, if you were like alone in your bedroom and an angel appeared, horrifying again, scary, yes. Even if he says, greetings, favored woman, like you found favor with God, like oh, that's good, but I'm still shaking in my knees. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. Which, that's what he told Zechariah too, right? Don't be afraid. When God brings a change to you, you don't have to be afraid. Fear does not have to be what you're walking in when God brings a change. All right, do not be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Good news there. Everything there is good news. There is a little slight thing, and, you know, like with Mary just being engaged and never having done the thing you have to do to have babies. That's kind of a thing, but otherwise it's still all good news. And so Mary says, how can this happen? I am a virgin. Now hold up, because when Zechariah's like, are you sure? How's this going to happen? Like smack down, right? You won't talk. But that isn't Mary's experience. The angel said to her, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. And listen to Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. And then the next chapter over, is just Mary giving praise to God and thanks to God for allowing her to be the father of this sweet baby who's going to save the world. Now, so about a year ago, when I was looking at this, I was like, what's the big difference? Why the drastic difference in response from the angel to Zechariah and to Mary? Well, Zechariah was a priest. He was about God's stuff. He's in God's house. It's his one in 22,000 chances of his lifetime to be in the Holy of Holies. An angel appears. An angel knows his name, knows his wife's name, and all this stuff, and is telling him, you know, like, this is what you've been waiting for as personally and as a nation. And he just had turned into an old crusty church person and was like, well, that's, I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not sure. That's not how. I think, you know, he'd gotten used to being like, well, we're barren, and that's what we talk about with our friends. Like, oh, I wish we'd had a baby. What are they going to talk about now? I don't know exactly what happened. But there was no, I can see where there was a lack of patience there. It was like, you know what? You're just going to lose your voice until this all comes to be. But then Mary's just a young girl, a little good Jewish girl, and she's in her bedroom, right? An angel appears. That's freaky. So I can see where there's a little more grace to, like, well, how's that going to happen? And then her response is just amazing. Like, and plus, what's going to happen, you know, it's good that she was able to say, you know what, yeah, I'm in on that. Like, she wasn't taken against her will. I'm like, yeah, gross. Okay. But she's like, this is what you have for me, God. And I say yes to it. I say yes. I say yes with thanksgiving. I say yes. And so about a year ago, when I was looking at this and thinking through this, we had just come out of a conference and as a staff. And we have always, launched Compass 4 years ago, we wanted Compass to be a place where, you know, unchurched people find God. We want it to be a place, you know, where we reproduce. We're raising up leaders, you know, young people, and we're reproducing leaders, and eventually we want to reproduce churches. We want to be a church that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches. That was the big dream. That's what we're asking God for. And about a year ago, God put it on our heart that maybe it was time to plant a church, even before we have our own building. That God was like, I think it's time. It's time to do this. And we had Lewis and Stacy feeling God calling them and just stirring in them something new. And we were like, yeah. You know what? It's time. We're going to multiply churches. But multiplying churches is inconvenient. And crusty old church people can tell you all the things that are inconvenient about planning another church. First of all, my friends aren't going to be with me at staff meeting anymore, and that sucks. And I said sucks, and that's going to have to just stay out there in infinity. And you know, like, and our crowd's going to be smaller, maybe. And, you know, I like it when y'all show up, and we like it when there's seats that are filled, right? But guess what? And I know this because I'm a church planner, and I also am a crusty church person, so it's a dual thing that I'm fighting through. Did you know that in a new church plant, if you survey the people there and you say, where did you find Jesus? Here or another church, 50%, say 50%. 50%. We can do better. 50%, people. 50% of those people found Jesus for the first time in that new church. It just is. Now, if you go to a more established church and you do that same question, did you find Jesus here or did you used to go somewhere else? 85% of the people used to go somewhere else. And that's okay. Like, and I know that we're going to have people who are going to come here and have another church in their history, and that's great. But our goal is to have unchurched people find Jesus. And the way that happens is through new churches. That is like an amazing, that's how it works. And so God was like, Terry, And also, I like to say, you know, I'm just a detail person. I just don't think you're a detail person. And my detail person was becoming just a negative person. And I felt very clearly the Lord speak to me, and he's like, Terry, who do you identify with more? Are you Mary or are you Zachariah? And I was like, well, I'm probably more like Zachariah, if I'm being honest. And I felt the Lord say, Terry, you need to embrace my change or you risk losing your voice. Because if you're speaking negative and if you're saying all the reasons we can't, the people who are carrying out my vision and following after this passion, they're going to have to just turn a deaf ear to you. Because you know how, okay, and just in life, guys, if you know how, like, if they bring a change down at work or there's changes that you're facing, if you're the negative Nelly, like, you're going to lose your voice. Lord, help us not to be that. So here's the thing. Whatever God has for us as a church, I want to embrace this. And, like, here's what God was like, Terry, Compass is going to have a baby. It's going to be great, and there's going to be great joy because of this new church, and your shame is going to be removed, and it's going to be amazing. There was no bad news in that announcement. There's no bad news. No bad news. And so I want to have the heart of Mary and say, yes, God. Yes, God. Like Mary, I want to embrace whatever God has for me with thanksgiving and with praise. So as a church, we're going to do that. But individually, today, I know that God is here. And there's some of you that are just facing changes in your life that are difficult. But I want you to know that just like the angel said to Zechariah and to Mary, do not be afraid. Have that heart that just embraces where you are, even if it hurts. And say, God, whatever it is you have for me, I'm all yours. And thank you for being with me. And thank you for letting me have a part in your plan. Some of you, God is calling you to make a change. He's calling you out of that unforgiveness that you've been hanging on to. Don't be afraid. Let it go. Some of you, he's calling, you've been searching and pushing for your own dream for a long time, and you feel God saying, put that down and pursue my dream for you without fear. Today's the day to say yes. Thank you, Lord. Somebody here, some of you may be in a bad relationship, whether it's a dating relationship or just a friend relationship, and it is pulling you away from the things of God, and you know that he's calling you out of it. And today, with no fear, I say to you, don't be afraid. Chase after God with everything you have. Stand to your feet. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. I thank you for the amazing way that you love us. I thank you, God, that before I ever even said, yes, I'm going to follow you, and yes, I'm going to love you back, that you said, I love you and I am all in. I love you so much, I will hold nothing back to make it so that you can know me. And you sent Jesus to die. Jesus, thank you for the price that you paid so that I could know you. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you with our lives. I thank you that we can trust you through every change. Lord, we can trust you with the changes that you're calling us to. And we can trust you with the changes that are just happening. We can trust you with the changes that we're walking through that are hard because you're good and you're with us. We love you, Lord. If you feel like God is something that he wants you to change, or if you've become a crusty old church person and you want to shake that off, would you just, as a sign of surrender to the Lord, would you lift your hands with me today as we pray? Oh God, change our hearts. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you, to whatever you have for us. God, open our eyes to the plans that you have. Lord, open our mouths, Lord, when we need to speak out for you, when we need to be an encourager instead of a negative person. God, give us those encouraging words. Lord, help us, stop us in our tracks when we start to speak negative things. In Jesus' name, Lord, we want to be your people, and we want to represent you well. We say yes to you today, God, to whatever you have for us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.